are taking me anywhere you want, but it will be in the city where there's Wi-Fi, where there are witnesses, where there are people. Like, fuck you in seclusion. I don't need alone time for you, like, right now. That was insane. Thank you. Yeah. That was insane.
Happy... What day is it? Well, happy any day. It's Bitch, I Ain't Scared. And I'm Nate the Fool.
Rob the Scholar, this is our season finale, season two.
Whoop, whoop. Made it. Yes. Lucky number 13. And, you know, it'll be nice just to take a short break and reassess and come back and have better goodies, I guess. Or maybe it'll be the same goodies. It'll be the same goodies. But you don't know. You won't know until it happens. So stay tuned. But today we just have some fun tidbits to finish off the month. We were lucky enough to have 3 episodes in March. So, you know, we're gonna give you what you want. We're gonna give you some, you know, green Irishy monsters, you know, gotta do it. But Rob also wanted to discuss Sleepaway Camp, so we're gonna delve into that a little bit. And there's been lots of movies that have come out recently that we've seen. We'll talk about Fresh. But yeah, we got lots of fun stuff to talk about today. But first, we will start with the trivia.
Trivia.
2001, 13 Ghost. Tell me, what is the name of the list of ghosts?
Oh my God.
What do they refer to the ghost in one specific segment in a book?
Oh my God, there's no way. I can attempt to try and describe them all to you, but
I don't want them all. I don't want them all. I want the one thing that encapsulates all of them.
Okay, so there's a name for it. Okay, I'll try and think of that. This movie is not one of my go-tos. I probably saw it twice in my life.
Well.
Yeah, I want to say that we've discussed this, but to remember everything that's said on here, but that's what these podcasts are for. They're court reporters, and he'll just have to find the footage that says this movie is not me. So with 13 Ghosts, I think it was about 30, 40 minutes in, and I'm like, y'all have only used 4, and no one is dying. Not anybody. And I'm like, I'm waiting for this first body to drop. Y'all are taking too long. It is now turned into a little bit of a camp, which I'm fine. I walked in this with some heavy shit, and I didn't get what I wanted. Now, the second time I watched it,
the lawyer
dies. He does, but like, so the second time I watched it, I had a little bit more fun with it, but it's just not one that's gonna like live in my brain for free. It costs a little bit of money to chill up in there, so. That's my thing with 13 Ghosts. I know I'll have a lot of people fighting me, but it just didn't hit me the way I wanted it to.
You'll learn something at the end of the episode today, then.
Very good.
All right, so I just had this random epiphany, I guess. I have not watched any of the other Walking Dead. I haven't even watched the rest of the original Walking Dead, but I didn't watch the spinoffs or anything. However, I know that little Nico Tortorella, what a name. I just, every time I read his name and try to say it out loud, I'm like, is that right? Hope so. No disrespect. But anyway, Nico, he's on one of the spinoffs.
Yes.
What's it called?
It's not Fear. It's, I forget the name
it's
of
like,
it. I well, thought you anyway, knew this. This was your
No, because I don't watch it. But I'm just, you know, specifically Nico. You know, ever since Jill Roberts shot his dick off in Scream 4, I haven't seen him with a woman. Coincidence? I don't know.
He but was probably certainly gay as shit in that one too. Like, this man has always been on the spectrum since day one.
Yeah.
But it's that like, man needed to pay his dues. That's the thing. It's like with horror, you pay your dues, you play exactly what Hollywood expects you to be. And then once you got some money in your pocket, then you can start doing what you're supposed to be doing in Hollywood. And that's what he did. He immediately just took over. So it's the Walking Dead World Beyond is what he's on right now.
World Beyond.
Yes.
Cute. Love it. But yeah, he's like a gay horror icon, sort of. I mean, he's done it 3 times. No,
that so that man started being questionable to me, and I was loving it since The Following. The Following was that moment for me, where even though he, you know, played a straight guy, this man took a part that involved a lot of man on man action, and he didn't seem too bothered by it, and he was giving off vibes, and then he just continued the trend and started keeping those roles in his pocket. He kept going and going, and I love him for it. Love it every single time.
Yeah. So it was just a moment I had. I don't even remember what I was looking at, and I was like, huh, yeah. And I don't remember what his deal is in real life. I mean, you know, do your thing. But I thought that was important enough to recognize, you know, it's one guy playing multiple characters in the genre.
He's very proud of his World Beyond character and the relationship he's created with his on-screen boyfriend or husband, I want to say. Mm-hmm. And yeah, he talks about it all the time. And, you know, he's just very proud of the representation that he's creating in media. And as far as Walking Dead, he's not the only gay person on there. And the show has definitely taken a lot of flack for having them pop up here and there, but he's a pretty big lead in the World Beyond. So it's great to see him on that show still succeeding.
Yeah. I did see a picture of the couple, and I was like, that's really nice that this representation exists. I can't believe that people are upset about it. I mean, I don't know why that. I'm so shocked, but it's like, why? God, get over it.
Well, I'll tell you this: they're not too pissed off about the lady relationships. It's just the men.
Of course not. Yeah, of course not. It's always like because they're hoping to see the ladies get naked. It's just it's so weird. I'll never get that.
But keep doing what you're doing, Nico. Like, especially horror. Just stay in the genre. We want to see more of that.
Yes, please.
So I saw the movie Fresh on Hulu. I didn't watch it right away, but I believe, Nate, you watched it before me. So it's a little, settled in your brain. I watched it, I think 2 weeks ago since this recording. And my main sort of pull was Sebastian Stan, because even though he has dabbled in horror before, this is my first sort of exposure to that. And I just wanted to see how he would do because he's playing the villain. And especially for Hulu, this was definitely something that I didn't expect an original movie to come out with, because usually it's Blumhouse with those, you know, one-off movies that they do. But this one seemed a little bit more like it has a little bit more budget, but it still seems very indie. Again, I had no expectations. Yeah. I just wanted to see how he would do. So I knew a little bit of the plot of the movie before going in, but I didn't know exactly where they were going to take it. It is very contained. I don't want to use the word simple, but it's not it's not cluttered. It doesn't have like a lot of things going on. This is a very central story and focus on the the psychology of just being captured and dealing with like men in general as how I see this movie. We have a leading lady who just has the worst taste in men, but the whole movie just sort of talks about the dangers of online dating or just trusting yourself to the first guy that says hello and makes you feel special. And not everything is what it seems. And the overall theme, again, is that men are trash for a big part of it. The women definitely take center stage and excel through this movie, while the men are really looked at through a heavy lens that they are just nothing. As a guy, did you find any of this offensive, untrue, going too far, over the top? What did you think?
No, and I didn't even really think of it that way. I mean, also, I'm gay, so, you know, it's, I mean, we could be looked at under the same lens. We definitely could, how we treat each other in our relationships. We're just as terrible sometimes, but no, you know, that's funny. I really didn't examine it from this, this deeper lens. Yes, like the men are terrible, but when you get deeper into the story, I mean, we do have the one guy who is definitely not a monster. He's a good guy. He doesn't even have any creepy tendencies. He's helpful. He's pretty helpful. And we even have a woman who surprisingly is not great. She's not, you know, a great representation of womanhood, or, you know, she's been traumatized and now she just lives in her trauma and Stockholm syndrome has really just taken hold. But no, yeah, it's funny. It's like, I didn't take it as like, oh, men are trash. I just took it. I really just was consumed by the story of these women have been kidnapped and they're going to be eaten.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. So, I mean, coming to the clientele, which I'm sure is a mix of men and women, but they really focus on the male customers. Yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah. And then, you know, you've got the first date guy and then there's Sebastian. And then there's the bartender who you think is going to be somewhat of assistance. While he was very smart, it did not work in his favor or help the sort of the man points of the movie, because he just took off and ran and decided to keep himself. See, that's the thing. Not saying they're trash, but at the same time, you've got two people who you are friends with, and he did all of this digging, but the moment he saw danger, he was just like, y'all on your own. And while you can interpret that however, the movie made it look like men are trash. For me, it just kind of comes to the literal last second of the movie, which is when the camera focuses on her phone. And do you remember the text she got after all this danger had gone down?
No.
So as they're sitting there, you know, feeling safe and like it's over, the movie is about to end, and it pans over to her phone and she gets a text from the guy who called her a bitch because she was leading him on and didn't want to sleep with him. And it says, "You up?" Which had to have been at like 2 or 3 in the morning, because that shit, you know, all that final showdown happened in the middle of the night. And I'm like, wow. This is how they end this movie. I freaking love it. I thought that was hilarious and a funny wrap up to a movie suggesting about the, you know, the ups and downs of dating. But it was just funny. He totally just made her feel like shit for not wanting to sleep with him. And he still ends up texting her like the fuck boy that he was. And it was hilarious. You don't remember that?
No.
Oh my God. I love
that ending. Them like hugging and like they, I swear my version of the movie ended with them like, I love you.
I bet you if you put it on right now, it'll show up. Yeah.
I'm sure it will. I know you didn't hallucinate this, but maybe I was just so like, oh, thank God it's over. Oh, I don't remember that.
Did you like the movie?
Yeah, I liked it. I surprisingly watched the whole thing. I was going to turn it off.
Okay.
I almost didn't make it. It's not that it's this horribly violent. I mean, well, it's violent, but it's not graphic. It's not gory. They don't show anything. It's all pretty much suggested, but I still did not want to watch it.
Now I'm really curious what version you saw, because if I remember correctly, it was, I shouldn't say very gory, but they showed a lot of skin to melee weapon action, like clear in the camera. Like when that man got his face beat to a pulp, and even when the woman like got her shit knocked out, like they showed all of that.
Yeah, they showed that, but they didn't through the rest of the movie, the whole middle of the movie, they didn't show him like cutting off parts of their bodies.
It
was enough that he was like, he had her on her stomach and he's like, I'm going to remove your ass, and I was like and they did not show it. Thank God.
A lot of the big stuff happened towards the end for sure.
Yeah, but I mean, it's like, yes, that was violent, but I was like, oh well, him getting his face beat in, I don't know. he deserved it. But you know, it's like everybody, I mean, just even the part where it's like he doesn't take her to dinner, but they're having dinner and she's eating whatever he's prepared for her, and it's like very cringy, especially when he's like, oh, this is breast meat, and I was like, oh my God, don't eat it. No.
She did what she had to do, though. Yeah, it was a very tough movie. She
had to do, but the breasts came from Molly. So
the most unsettling scene for me, I think, is her discovery of what's happening to her. This is after she was drugged, and he's staring at her from across the room, literally just breaking down everything that's about to happen to her. And he does it with this calmness, like, I'm very confident you're not getting out of this mess. And it was just her reaction to it all, of really having it sink in that she is going to die eventually and slowly. And her, I just found all of that to be so creepy. Yeah. And that's when I was definitely hooked. I mean, he's a charmer. And not to say that I would fall for the same shit, because ain't vacation within months of seeing each other. I'm just not that guy. I don't judge those who do, but you do not know this man. And it's just weird. It's just weird. Yeah. And they want to go to the country. I'm sorry. You are taking me anywhere you want, but it will be in the city where there's Wi-Fi, where there are witnesses, where there are people. Like, fuck you in seclusion. I don't need alone time for you. Like right now, that was insane. Thank you. Yeah. That was insane.
Yeah, no, it wasn't. It was very quick. They weren't seeing each other for, I don't know, it was like 2 weeks. It was fast. It was fast. No. Nothing was shown, really. That wasn't it. It was all the performances. It was all the, like, this is what I'm going to do to you. Yeah,
I'd say it's worth it. Watch it. No. I think it's good.
Good surprises. Good performances. Loved all the women. I was waiting to see who was in the other room. I was like, she sounds familiar. So very, really, really great cast. It was, but I won't watch it again. Like, can't do that. No. This weekend, Rob and some other gents were kind enough to celebrate my life and my mythology by throwing me a little birthday shindig. So, you know, we went and saw a couple movies and we hung out at your house and played board games. And I looked at your wonderful wall of movies and I happened to notice you have the entire collection of Leprechaun films.
I did buy the pack, the collection DVD bundle. So I have 1 through 5 all together. One big happy family.
1 through 5, man. Yeah.
Or I'm sorry, 1 through 5. You know what? This pack does not have Back in the Hood, the second one. It only has the first.
Oh.
Because I want to say that this bundle pack came out before the sequel, or there was just some distribution thing where it just didn't include it. Couldn't tell you exactly the reason, but yeah, that one only has the first one.
Oh, okay. There we go. I was like, oh, I thought there were only 5 altogether, including that one. But I was like, okay, no. I had to like count it in my head because I haven't seen all of them. I didn't see when they went to Vegas or space. Didn't see that. I didn't see the second, like, Back to the Hood either.
I would actually watch the third one. I think the third one's a lot of fun and the practical effects are amazing. But definitely, definitely watch Leprechaun Returns. Last year, I did a review on another podcast of the entire series. And I was listening to it again for St. Patrick's Day. And we got to the part where we were talking about Leprechaun Returns, and it just reminded me on how wonderful that movie is on having it be a direct sequel from the original. I thought they did a wonderful job, and they sort of threw in a lot of like Scream-like meta jokes in the bunch on just recognizing how horrific and horror movie-like this situation that they're in is. And while I wasn't a huge fan of who they chosen as our leprechaun, I still found this movie to be written pretty darn good. So I would at least check that out if you have a way to access it.
And this is the TV movie that you're referring to?
Like the Yes, the one that went to Sci-Fi. Yes.
The reboot, the relaunch.
The requel.
The requel. Yeah, because
it is
the characters.
It is the sequel, and they did have legacy character.
Oh, did they?
They did.
Did they? Look at them.
Yeah.
Oh. They were doing big things before everyone else, huh? Who'd they have?
They had what's his face? Oh, I forget his name. What is his name?
Was it the sweet character? From the first one, the one who was like, "Oh, he bit my ear off. He's gonna turn it into a boot."
So they brought back Ozzy, who was played by Mark Holton. He was our big lovable teddy bear,
and that's the same actor.
Yes, same actor came back, and he knew what was going on. They even brought up Jennifer Aniston's character in a way. Again, I found what they did to be great, to incorporate her without having to involve her. And again, the new characters I thought were cool. So yeah, I definitely believe that Leprechaun Returns is worth the watch, especially after so many duds. There's still life in the franchise, and I would welcome a sequel from that mark.
Leprechaun. So I really wanted to show you, but I'm waiting on this package to arrive. Yes, I got myself another birthday present because apparently I'm rich. But I was looking at this Instagram artist, and you know, a lot of Instagram artists have their art that they sell. This guy, he sells different holiday decorations, and you know, and it's like the posable, like, it's flat that you hang it on the wall, but you know, it has like the little arms.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm definitely gonna like purchase some stuff for Halloween because he has a Candyman, he has a ghost face, he has the rabbit from Donnie Darko. So I was like, okay, these are amazing. But he has a leprechaun with a little pot of gold from the movie. And I was like, oh my God. Yeah. I can use this for my St. Patrick's Day decorations and my Halloween decorations. Great. But I still have not received it.
Aww.
So I really hope I get it, because I really do want to order Halloween decorations later this year from this gentleman. So I'm not going to plug him just yet. I'm not going to say his name until my package arrives. And if it doesn't arrive soon, I'll just cancel it. But either way, you know, it is really a cool idea. So I'll keep you posted on that.
Okay.
But did you see this trailer for a movie? It just came out. It's called You Are Not My Mother.
No, I did not. You Are Not My Mother. The title might sound a little familiar, but I don't remember seeing a trailer.
It's an Irish horror film. And you know what? I watched the whole trailer.
Uh-oh, look at you.
Look at me. Uh-huh. I was like, ah! We're going to just play these whole 2 minutes and 20 seconds. We're going to do it. But it doesn't show me anything that gives anything away, because I'm like, what the fuck is happening? But I am intrigued. So it's based on Irish folklore of the changeling. Have you ever heard of that?
Yes.
So it's revolves around something like that. And, you know, it's definitely a very modern horror thematically. It deals with, I think, sort of like mental illness and, you know, depression, different things that, you know, we all can relate to maybe, but it looks scary. It looks really creepy. And I think it's only playing at like two theaters in LA right now. So like maybe one in Glendale and then one in Anaheim. I don't know. So might be hard to see right now, but it looks really good. And, you know, it's like for decades, you know, it's like if you want to watch a horror movie on St. Patrick's Day, for the most part, you're gonna rely on Leprechaun. But there are some other things, and that's always what I'm hoping for these holiday horror films. I'm always wanting to expand within the genre. I want different creatures, because there are so many weird, strange things coming out of Ireland. So I would really like to check this out. And, you know, I encourage filmmakers and storytellers to give us more Irish monsters. I mean, you know, they're going to keep making Leprechaun movies. They are. But, you know, he needs his cousins to come and help him out.
So part of the double feature that Nate and I watched over the weekend, X was one of them. And it's a good thing that we decided to go, because I don't know if it's going to be in theaters that long. They've already taken it out half of L.A., but we were lucky enough to be able to see it after being out for 2 weeks. And this was already on my list to begin with. This is the latest from Ty West, a very known horror director. And watching the trailer, it did give me some, you know, M. Night Shyamalan Visit vibes. It's not a found footage film, but it does deal with an older couple being part of the antagonists. Or what it seems to be, they are the antagonists of the film. But this movie, titled X, deals with that old question of, you know, what is too taboo for the world, what they can handle, and do you have the X factor? You know, X could also represent the female chromosome, as it deals with a lot of female-oriented themes. You know, Remind me when that movie took place in the movie. I can't remember.
I think it was the
70s, right? Like the edge of the 70s.
Yeah, I can't remember enough. It was either 79 or 80. I can't remember.
I think I remember 79, but
yeah, I think it was 79. Yeah.
You've got sort of this discovery in this height of like porn movies. And obviously back in the day, men, hell yeah, you know, they can do whatever they want. They still keep all of their, you know, reputation intact. Nobody looks down on them, but women are looked at differently when it comes to porn. And so it can be very taboo. And also women may not feel too comfortable doing it, but there's these group of people that want to create a porn film that's not like any other, which is just a bunch of scenes with sex. They want to actually make a full-length scripted story around it. And they go to this farmhouse that is owned by this older gentleman who is one part of a couple who has decided to loan them the barn so they can do whatever it is, but they don't tell him that they're using it to film a porn. And so it's kind of one of those things where it's like, sin, sin, and you must die. And but the movie went on a different trajectory that I found interesting on more of a psychological level. And it dealt with a lot of loneliness, youth, you know, regret. All of these things came into play. And I actually found all the characters to be very interesting, mostly smart. There was even a small scene of debate on, you know, the idea of being in a porn and should you feel ashamed of it. I loved all of the themes that was coming out of this movie. And then on top of that, it was fucking gross. It was disgusting. This movie did not hold back on the gore or the effects. If they use CGI, I couldn't tell. I thought they did a great job with that. But I will say to those who do watch it, remember it's A24, so you know what that means. And while they do have a reputation, this movie doesn't sort of it doesn't really go far from that. It is a little bit of a slow burn. Not much happens in the beginning leading up. I think it all comes down in one little clump towards the end, but I will tell you that it's worth it. And the story leading up to it is actually interesting. This is my favorite. No, I'm sorry. My second favorite horror film from A24 that I actually will and have watched again more than once. Hereditary is my favorite. And I didn't find anything boring about X at all. I didn't find it slow. I wasn't like, hurry up, let's get to it. I was very into the story and the kills were great. So I definitely recommend this.
And for anyone who is like, oh, it's slow, it's boring, but it's like, hey guys, most of us love Psycho and that movie's been around for a long time. And they do reference Psycho in the film.
They do.
The first 40 minutes of Psycho, there's a whole totally different story happening and you're just kind of waiting for the actual, what you expect the story to think to be, what you're expecting to happen. So that's sort of what it reminds me of. And it's not boring to me. I thought the whole setup was fascinating and it was still creepy. There was lots and lots of moments building up to the finale that are very creepy, even though it's not in your face. And once things do start to pop off, though, I told James this when you were, I don't know, at the snack bar. There was a moment where there was like three different movies happening at once, and I was really stressed out because I didn't know what was going to happen to who. I didn't know who was going to get what. It was like, without giving it away. Oh my God.
And something that you miss, Nate, but the very, very end. The post credits are amazing. And yeah, I am very impressed with this movie. So definitely go see it if you can.
You know, I had time to come back too. I wouldn't have missed it, but I thought it was over. I went to the bathroom and then I was like, well, time to get my free popcorn. Go over to the, I didn't know. I just didn't, it's not a Marvel movie. I didn't expect it. You gotta stay after for everything.
To be fair, I don't think it was at the very, very end, but do stay. I mean, like, eventually it will show up. I don't think there was anything at the very, very end, but if so, yeah, I would just stay for the whole thing. Just stay for the whole thing. It's worth it. Just stay. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just a good practice nowadays. We all have smartphones for the most part. Just Google the movie, guys. See if there's a post-credits scene. Just, you know, unless you don't care. Oh, well. Here we go. I wish I had my Judy t-shirt on, you know, be ready to go, but we're going to talk about Sleepaway Camp because there's a lot to talk about, I guess. It's not something I knew about when I was younger. Like, we all know about Friday the 13th. But Sleepaway Camp, I think, you know, it's something that I might hold dear to my heart now. Well, okay, so most people know I don't care about Friday the 13th. But Sleepaway Camp, wow. There's a lot to unpack in this movie. And I think I might be a fan. I think I might be. But you wanted to discuss this film, Rob. So tell me, just like a brief, if you could like encapsulate your feelings about this movie in just a few words, what would you say?
It is a mind fuck. Period.
Mm-hmm.
It seriously is a mindfuck. Yeah, I was very impressed with the fact that this movie exists and it came out in the 80s. Like, I don't think I've ever seen something so complex from the 80s, and that could just be my fault and what I've chosen to watch as far as horror films, but I did not think this was possible to be this complex, especially with just a slasher film from a camp. Like, I was so impressed, and I actually am glad that I waited until I was today years old to like really watch this and let it sink in. Cause I think if I watched it when I was younger, I would have turned this movie away and been like, what, who cares? But watching it now, oh, I'm so a fan.
Yeah. I think I would not have given this movie a second thought when I was a teenager or even in my early 20s. I would have been like, turn this shit off. No, but no, I really do appreciate it. And it's one of those movies that, you know, you usually have someone on screen that you're rooting for. I don't think that it's, well, it is, it, you do have someone you're rooting for, but it's sort of revealed at the end that she's the one responsible for it all. And also, look, guys, this movie's been around for a long time. So if you haven't watched it, I don't know, get your life together. Now I went into this movie and I already knew how it ended. So that's another reason why I didn't watch it, because I know the gag at the end. It's like, oh, well, spoiler alert for me, there's no reason for me to watch it. But I did finally watch it, like, I don't know, 3 months ago. I do not regret my time. And yeah, Angela, she's the one that you root for. Just happens that she's the one who's responsible for everything. And it's this really weird feeling at the end where it's like, God, I didn't feel bad for not one of those people. I didn't feel bad for any of them because they all sucked. But I feel bad for Angela, man. I don't know how to feel right now. And just all the choices that are made in this movie, all of these characters, like from the very beginning, it's a bizarre adventure. And the, I don't even know what her name is. Aunt Ruth? Marjorie? Who knows? I don't remember her name. But what a bizarre character who is barely in the movie, but she has quite an impact on the whole story. I don't know who came up with this, but I'm glad they did. I am.
Yeah. Yeah, so that was Aunt Martha, who was very eccentric in her 5 minutes of fame in this movie. And I went into this movie knowing it was Angela, but I still didn't know the twist. Oh. I just knew a woman did it. That's all I knew. I knew that she was the one that was doing everything, but I didn't know anything. So I was like, okay, maybe the big thing is that a woman is the one doing all this, because mostly the killers are men. So I was like, okay, fine, big twist. In the 80s, you don't see women being, you know, I get it. But as I was watching the beginning and how the movie introduced this prologue, I was like, I know what y'all trying to do. I figured it out right away. I was like, are you serious? And I kept that theory in my head the whole way through. And I was like, I knew it. And I did think that even though it did seem a little obvious, I think they did a good job hiding it.
Yeah.
However, they did have, if I'm not mistaken, they did have another ending in mind. And I want to say that it was changed. They were going to make it both of them. Or the theory is that the ending was supposed to be both of them, but then they changed it at the last minute and just made it her. Mm-hmm. I think that he knew everything and tried to protect her for the most part, and he also was sort of doing a back-to-back. That's why in some scenes you see a hairier, maybe a little bit more of a bulkier silhouette take out some people, and you're like, oh, they're just horrible at like disguising stuntmen and shit. No, that's actually supposed to be him. So they do a good job on hiding it, but I think they were also trying to be obvious as well. Keep you on your toes. Maybe this was going to be the first time they introduced dual killers, you know, like stuff like that. So you were kind of going back and forth, but Angela was very creative in her kills for sure. That curling iron, I can't.
Yeah. I was like, what you doing with that? What are you doing? Oh, goodness. No, I'm fascinated by Angela, and I had this theory after watching it that, you know, Angela is innocent, but I think, you know, whenever she feels threatened, Peter comes out and sort of takes over and is like, well, got to take these fuckers out, you know, because these, you know, someone was hurting Angela. I have to protect her. I have to protect my sister. So I don't know. It's just that I'm sure that doesn't hold up maybe, but that was something I thought of, where it's like there is a dual personality. I felt like maybe she wasn't completely aware of what was happening. And especially it's like she sort of goes catatonic, where it's like when she does feel threatened, she just stares. And it's, or anytime she stares, I felt like it was Peter, you know, like when she is the first time she does it, she's sitting in the cabin and she's staring at Judy, like, what are you looking at? And it's like, I feel like maybe Peter was like, ooh, this beautiful girl, you know, it's these weird conflicting emotions of, well, I'm a girl. Aunt Martha's told me my whole life, I'm a girl. My sister's dead, so I'm going to take on her personality and keep her alive and protect her, because I couldn't protect her in the accident. Huh, maybe I'm right. Maybe this does hold up. I don't know. This could be a thing. Like, Peter and Angela, they're one. It was a lot. The moment, I didn't expect this at all. Like, the moment where it's like that flashback of after she kind of like goes catatonic because homeboy does not stop touching her when she's like, oh, I don't really want to do this. And he's like, it's fine. It's like, back up. But, you know, she remembers like seeing her dad in bed with Uncle Jack. I don't know what his name is. And I was like, oh, well, look at this. Yeah. Never, seen this in the 80s. But it was a very strange moment of, I don't know. And I guess it was trying to give us a clue as to, like, because it shows like them pointing at each other, the kids. And then it was like suddenly they switched places and it was like, oh, what does that mean? It's like, well, yeah, we probably know.
So what did you think about her taking out the little campers?
I know that was, I mean, so, and it's like, it's not shown. It's just the aftermath. It's like some bloody sleeping bag stuffing. I'm fine with it. I am fine with it. You know,
do you think that, I mean, that they were directly laughing at her? Or was it indirectly, like, laughing at something else or the situation? Like,
well, they were throwing sand at her. Like, yeah. So I think it was just, again, it's like that knee-jerk reaction of Peter, the other personality, like, I got you. Memorizing your little faces and I'll be back. So yeah, I think, you know, it's like after she was thrown into the water, it's like, again, it's like traumatized. She probably can't even swim. And here these little bastards are throwing sand at her. Like, I don't know why everyone hated her so much. So, yeah, I think it was just, they, you fuck with Angela once, Peter's going to get you.
Yeah, and it's so funny because this white boy had, like, at least two or three tries, and he fucked up every single thing, and it was like, okay, I'm done with you, and just took him out. And, yeah, I don't know if it was because, like, because we don't get to see his reaction, right? Is it she was scared and that is her fight mode? Or did he react a certain way? Or, you know, was she mad that he, you know, found out in general and you had to go? So who knows what happened with that particular thing? I would hope that he didn't make her feel bad for being who she is. So,
I mean, yeah, it was probably... It came down to like a reaction of, oh my God, you're not a girl. So maybe she felt rejected and went away. And Peter was like, well, don't you worry. I'll handle this. So I think it's that weird conflicting thing of, you know, it's like she wants to be liked. And here's this boy that likes her and is nice to her. But, you know, I can't even imagine. It's so terrible.
Well, yeah, I mean, among all the horrible characters that were throughout this film, like, I didn't necessarily need somebody to root for. I mean, I don't even know if this is a movie where you can be like the villain one. I mean, I'm not condoning killing, but at the same time, it's like you created an adventure in a universe where these horrible people were like literally picking on her for no reason. I mean, camp is supposed to be fun. And not one person made her feel special about it, except for, you know, our bodybuilder who just, I don't want to say he's the worst counselor, but he is kind of the worst.
Oh, counselor. He's so clueless. But he's really sweet.
He's very sweet. But like, you've got, you know, pedophiles employed in the kitchen. Like, it's just, this movie was meant for you to just root for the deaths of human lives. And I'm not mad about it. That's just kind of how it was. But yeah, I do have respect for it. And I don't know if I'm ready to watch the sequels, as I'm sure it goes downhill from this. But the second and third do connect in some way. But it's very like a thin line that's holding them together, just for the sake of saying like, oh, it's the same universe. But I don't know if I want to tarnish anything about this first one by watching the sequels. I'm good.
Did you know that they made the fourth film twice?
Oh, really?
So they made a part four, or they started to make a part four. I don't remember what year. Maybe it was like the late 90s. And then halfway through production, they lost the money, I guess, and they shelved it. They couldn't finish. And then in 2008, they came back again and somebody else wanted to make a part four, and they brought back Felissa Rose as Angela, basically. She was playing like a different character, but then it was revealed at the end. It was like, oh, it's Angela. Like she's barely in the movie. I didn't watch it. But then after that, for some reason, they were able to piece together the other film and they released that as well. So it's like, it's this weird thing where there's two movies out there, have nothing to do with each other. But I saw a small little snippet of an interview with Felissa Rose recently, and she was talking about the movie, and she said, I know a lot of people think, you know, it's like a cheesy horror film. And then she started crying, and she said, but, you know, it's really important to me, and it changed my life, and it's given me all these other opportunities, and, you know, I'm just really grateful for it. And I was like, oh, that's really sweet. She's like, you know, she was 13, I think, when she did the movie. It's her first movie. And yeah, she's had a very long career. She's mostly done horror films, I think. But she seems like a really sweet lady, and lots of people are always like, yes, if you go to a horror convention and she's there, you want to meet her because she's a fantastic human being. She's so nice and sweet. And I was like, oh, that's really great. So next time there's a horror convention in town and she's there, I think I want to go and I want to meet her because, you know, it's really endearing to me to see someone who is so proud of their work. And after all these years, they still go to conventions, and she likes to take pictures with people where she does the face.
Yeah. I was going to say, she'll do the face for you. I've seen recent ones, and yeah, mm-hmm. she's about it.
She loves it. That's really, really sweet. Well, Rob, the time has come. You've had a little bit of time to think about this. My gosh. I mean, I know you don't like the movie, but I just like this was the coolest part of the movie.
I know. I love the description when they were going through it. I just don't remember hearing a name to call the collective, the group. I'm going to say the collective. No, the entities, the lucky 13. I have no clue.
My goodness. So it's called The Black Zodiac.
Oh, that's a nice name. Why I gotta be black?
True.
But that's a nice name. No, I would have never gotten that. The Black Zodiac. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. Yes. And, you know, bonus people, if you've never watched the behind the scenes, you have to like get a DVD or Blu-ray or something. But they go in depth into all of the ghosts and tell like their whole little story. It's like, it's not in the movie at all. It's like, that's the most fascinating part of the movie is
which should have been in the movie. God, yeah. I would have loved like 2 minutes of like how each ghost became them like that. Yeah. Ooh, okay. We're going to stop there, but yes. Awesome. Okay. So let's kick off the final bitch really of the season. I am knee deep into the Netflix series. All of Us Are Dead. And I am loving it and enjoying every minute. And while I don't remember the character's name, the moment that I want to discuss is sort of how everything hits the fan. The virus and everything is in existence. There are one or two people that kind of have it, but they're contained and all is fine. But the outbreak doesn't happen until this one girl is infected, bites the first student, and then all hell breaks loose. Now, let me tell you how it happened.
Oh, no.
Without giving too much of the story away, the school, which most of the story takes place, is sort of ground zero, and it's all because of this science teacher. And he is studying the virus without really telling anybody that exists. So this is man-made. Whatever happens to these people is man-made. Mm-hmm. And one of the specimens is this mouse. Now, this girl is left alone in this science lab. It's behind a shut door. Nobody can really see what goes on in there. And she's moping around, going through stuff. And she comes across this cage that is moving. Oh, she removes the blanket, and there is this small little mouse in there. It's not a hamster, so it's not cuddly. It's not cute. It's a fucking rat. She decides that she wants to put her finger in the cage For what? The rat to lick your finger like a dog? Oh, how cute. You made a new friend. Like, what the fuck? So anyways, the mouse is you know, domicile until the finger comes in. And then a close-up of the mouse, you see it go into the mode and then go and bite her. Right?
Mm-hmm.
She then goes through it all and again bites another student and then it's all over. Bitch fucking really. Who in your right mind puts a finger in a cage of a mouse just so it can cuddle with it? I don't even want to do that on a bet. It just makes no sense to receive that type of affection from a rat that you're going to put your finger in a cage. It's just weird. And if it has enough strength to like move or bud, like move a cage, like that's something you don't want to be fucking with. I didn't get it. And it was just weird that people like to do that, I guess. I don't know. It just seemed a little too easy and a little lazy on spreading this disease.
Yeah.
But bitch, really, you want to pet a mouse? You want a mouse to come and like cuddle with your finger? Really?
Yeah. I mean, it still could have came from the mouse and, you know, that would have been a great lead in. But if the mouse somehow escaped from the cage on its own.
Thank you.
But just, yeah, to be like, oh, let me put my hand in this. Yeah, even if I thought it was a cute mouse, I still wouldn't put my hand in there.
Who does that? Yeah. No.
I don't know. I think I just mind my business a lot more than other people.
Yeah. Rule number 462. Mind your business. If you want to survive a horror movie, mind your business.
Number 462.
I do recommend this show. Does it stand out amongst the bunch? Not really. I'm sure there are, you know, better zombie shows. But the overall theme of this particular series is bullying. Feeling less than and overcoming those who step on you. Again, I won't say any more than that, but that is the overall theme, is that you've got a lot of people who are being judged for being either a low class, not popular, bullies are taking over, then it shifts. It really talks about being walked on and getting the strength to stand up to those that have like pushed you down. I love it. I love the theme. So yeah, I thought it was good. And there's a lot of great character developments. There's also a love triangle or a quadrilateral. I don't know what they're called. But yeah, it's not bad. It's not bad. And the zombies are exactly like Train to Busan. So you've got that entertainment for you as well. Yeah. And, yeah, I'm digging it. I'm digging it.
Nice. Well, look at that. We actually got a theme for our episode, overcoming bullies.
Yes.
Fresh sleepaway camp. All of us are dead. Don't be an asshole and you might survive.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Alrighty, kids. Well, we are going to be taking off the month of April to, you know, come up with some new ideas to refine the things that we enjoy. And if it pleases you, you know, you can like shoot us a little message on Instagram, Twitter, whatever you want. Tell us something that you really enjoy and we'll be sure to, you know, continue to include it. Otherwise we'll just be left to our own devices and we'll do what the fuck we want. Which we probably will anyway, but you know, so, as always, this has been fun. I'm enjoying myself. I'm glad that it's been almost a year since we have returned. So, we will be back around that anniversary, or maybe it will be on the anniversary. Can't remember now, but we will be back. And you know, just sit tight, enjoy yourselves, stay safe out there. We'll have all kinds of horror goodies for you.
Definitely.
A month. But thank you, Rob.
Of course. Thank you, fool.
And we will catch you very soon again on Bitch, I ain't scared.